laptop in our kitchen block. I don't know where this footage ended up or where else it was shown. I too went to Oaxaca this year. I had planned on traveling around Mexico as a political tourist in the lead up to the national election in July. I had been following what news I could in English since before I went. In June I was attempting to learn Spanish and read La Jornada while hanging out with some gay boys in Guanajuato. I had heard about the teacher's strike in Oaxaca and the ultimatum the governor had made telling them to leave the Zocalo or be removed by the police. I knew the date had passed, but the police were still camped out outside the city for a few weeks. I wanted to make it there and see the camps before the police broke them up. When I got there, there were hundreds of thousands of public school teachers camped out in the streets, with tarps and tents, mostly sleeping in cardboard on the sidewalks. It was after midnight when I arrived, and the French backpackers were confined in open hostels as we ducked and weaved under the tarp lines and over the sleeping teachers as we looked for a place to stay. That I could stay next to him for only 5 pesos. We settled on an upscale hostel that night that let us in where I got high with a desk man, Oaxacan style. We were watching The Simpsons. I got a cheaper place the next day, closer to the Zocalo on Independencia. People in Oaxaca City didn't like the teachers being there, quote, making everything dirty. But no one thought the police would be stupid enough to attack them. They held this protest every year. These were teachers. They held teach-ins all day and made food, played with their children. 2 nights later at 3 a.m., I woke to the sounds of trucks and grunting. I knew immediately the barricades had been broken. I opened the door to the veranda and the smell of tear gas flooded in. I could see the people just waking up and shouting, and first a trickle and then a stream of panicked women and children running towards the police to escape the battle. But there wasn't enough time. Police ran in, gas canisters flew in from all sides. Police beat people in their tents and in their beds, while tearing down their tarps and crushing toys and grills. People retreated but regrouped and returned to fight. Supposedly women and children had been killed in the raid. People were angry and carried any weapon they could find. Broken tent stakes, rebar, machetes. They tore up parking signs and broke up the sidewalks with them to make stones to throw at the police. The battle raged with wave after wave of police, then people, taking streets, then being pushed out by gas or stones, or concussion grenades being dropped from police helicopters. Finally, just before 11, once the police had fully taken the Zocalo and seemed intent on just standing there and occupying indefinitely, the people rushed their lines, running 3 blocks up with flying projectiles. They attacked the line with long 2x4s, knocking some police to the ground. Cops began retreating and the people carried away the wounded officers as captives. They stopped in front of our hostel and cleaned the cops' wounds. Some people tried to attack them, but they were defended by others who would then trade clothes with them. They took them around the corner and returned with runners offering demands to the police. If the police left, the hostages would be returned. The police left and didn't return for 3 or 4 months. Police were no longer welcome in Oaxaca. From that point on, the population came out in full support of the teachers. Brad was killed in November by paramilitaries made up of local police and politicians. His killing was then used as a pretext for Fox to send in the military. There's much more to say about everything else that occurred during those months, but I wasn't there for it. I hope this is useful.
Federal police ordered to Mexico resort after riots, deaths. Last updated, Saturday, October 28, 2006, 5:11 p.m. Eastern Time, the Associated Press. Shop owners in the Mexican resort of Oaxaca shuttered their businesses and demonstrators built up street barricades Saturday after President Vicente Fox ordered federal police to intervene in an intense standoff between striking teachers and their supporters and the state authorities. Fox, in Leaves office December 1st, had refused repeated requests to use force in Oaxaca, even as the southern city slid into chaos. But gun battles Friday that killed a U.S. journalist and at least 2 Mexicans apparently exhausted his patience. In unrest that began with a teacher's strike for higher pay, leftists have blocked streets for months demanding the ouster of Oaxaca State Governor Ulises Ruiz. They claim the state government has sent gunmen and thugs to provoke them. After Fox announced he was ordering in federal police, protesters fortified their positions by piling up sandbags and parking large trucks and buses across roads leading into the center of Oaxaca. Men also were seen removing broadcast equipment from one of the local radio stations seized by protesters months ago. A second station held by leftists remained on the air, urging Oaxaca's people to prevent the federal police from entering the city. Few people ventured from their homes. Across the heart of the city, nearly all shops and restaurants closed early. Street vendors packed up their wares and disappeared. "We're afraid," Juan Lopez said as he pulled metal shutters down over the glass storefront of a sporting goods shop a half block from Oaxaca's leafy central plaza, surrounded by arcaded colonial-era buildings. "We're afraid there is going to be more shooting." Friday's shooting began when unknown gunmen tried to remove a street blockade in a rough neighborhood. Journalist Bradley Roland Will, 36, of New York, was hit in the abdomen and died later in the hospital. Oaxaca resident Esteban Zurita was shot dead, and the bullet-ridden body of another man, Emilio Alonso Fabian, was discovered about 3 kilometers away. Will worked for IndieMedia.org, an independent web-based media organization.
Report from Oaxaca. First-hand account of the attack by young Brad Will, 1028. A first-hand report from the fight during which Brad Will, New York City indie media reporter, was shot and killed by POG members in Oaxaca. Account of the Priista attack in Santa Lucia del Camino and Oaxaca, Mexico. Attacks across the city killed at least 4. Note, this account is not meant to be a complete account of the day. It is meant to be from the perspectives and experiences of 2 people in the midst of what can only be described as a battle in the streets of Santa Lucia in Oaxaca. We know that other things happened in other neighborhoods, and that other things probably happened in our vicinity. This is our best effort at capturing the events that we experienced and witnessed. On Thursday night, Barricade 3 in Santa Lucia del Camino set up a little earlier than normal. Reinforcing the barricades for Friday's day of action required more trucks and buses than usual. At times, it was a chaotic scene with camion after camion joining the barricades, and people unsure of where they should go. Eventually, things calmed down. Many more people than usual guarded the barricade, and the tranquility of the night had many regulars taking time to lie down, if not sleep. As day broke, the barricade took on the feel of a community holiday, or small block party with small children running about. At what felt like an informal potluck, people brought tortillas and beans, sandwiches, bread, and arroz con leche. Most chose to not cover their faces despite this being a regular practice at the barricades. Up to this point, the only contentious moment was the permitted approach of a chicken truck that surprised several people. Suddenly, about a dozen people started shouting, donning masks, picking up Molotov cocktails, known as bombas Molotov and cohetes, large bottle rockets typically shit out of PVC pipes that people call bazookas, and collecting rocks and sticks. A small group moved forward to see why a truck that was part of the barricade, about 200 feet away, was moving, and investigated commotion on the other side of that barricade. After advancing about 100 feet, the group spotted 150 to 200 priestess, supporters of the authoritarian
Thank you. division to be armed to the teeth, who shot first. After the shooting stopped, the group moved quickly to the other side of the road and to the corner where the shots had originated from. The attacking priestess had retreated back away from the highway and deeper into the neighborhood. 52 people slowly advanced north, a block into the neighborhood, while 200 people gradually moved up, either by going north or approaching it from the west by way of the barricades. Again, the group moved north, taking cover by vehicles parked along the street. In addition to shooters at the far end of the street, more priestess were taking cover inside a building along the street. The building was targeted with Molotovs, rocks, bricks, and cohetes. Someone hit the door before priestess stepped the street and started shooting again. We had to retreat back to the end of the block. This gave the priestess time to close and barricade the door. A few attempts with similar results gave way to milling about as we waited for reinforcements. One block west.
Sao Paulo. He had been there while the police were attacking and breaking up the camps. He had footage of the police in American-style super cop gear rushing the village of 10,000 or so people. They were firing tear gas, and live rounds kept flying by the cameras. The police were fighting them off one on one front while more people came from a different direction. People began to flee in mass, but they were surrounded. Brad and the camera retreated into a house where they were all lying on the floor. He filmed out the window for a while with police rushing in, bullets flying, and people being attacked and beaten. Police came towards the new house and died down. Babies were crying. Thank you. 200 feet up in the canopy of giant duck feathers and hemlocks in Unit 26.
There are fire and tear gas, and live rounds kept flying by the
He was the next semi-permanent resident nestled in that big hammock in the sky. The first time I'd ever climbed into an actual tree set, climbed trees out there before any tree sets were installed. It took me 45 huffing minutes to get up there. When I reached the net, a furry, bespeckled face reached over the edge to haul me in. I'm Bee.
Police came towards the house.
You mean Bee as in Bumble? No, just Bee. I climbed in and took my surroundings. The forest canopy is like twilight all day with rare specks of sunshine filtering through the thick evergreen needles. A gray jay perched 2 feet away from the edge of the net and squawked for a meal.
I don't know where his footage ended up, or
They're
where
the thieves
it was
of this forest. Gotta keep your food sealed
to
up tight, Bee told me.
I had planned on this
he gave me the tree-sitting 101 intensive, how to
Mexico,
connect your safety line, how to use the shit bucket without unhooking your safety, how to transfer food and cargo on the pulley lines to the other sets. His energy was frenetic and determined. He kept ambling around the net and small bathroom and platform, adjusting lines and securing supplies with dramatic intensity. He was real thin, one of those skinny, energetic people that eat all day to maintain a metabolism that resents such things as quiet and sleep. He offered to teach me to venture out on the rope walkways connecting the sits, but I declined, not sure if I was ready to dangle on ropes without even the illusory safety of a solid tree. Feel a sense of structure and all that green taste void.
Cardboard
I remember accepting
walks.
A peanut butter sandwich
it was
from
later
spongy, tree-sap
after, it was after midnight when I arrived.
He told me he'd
French
come from New York City where he'd been working with
and
steel
and
Israeli.
And I couldn't find any open hostel as we ducked and weaved into the tarp lines and over the sleeping teachers as
he
we
was killed.
To stay.
Murdered. Yesterday in Oaxaca, Mexico, while covering the story of paramilitaries sent in to break up the blockade and strike.
We settled at an upscale hostel.
He'd be working with NYC Indy Media to provide the coverage of the brewing insanity and violence there that the mainstream U.S. press had steadfastly ignored. He was shot in the chest as he was filming the PRistas firing at the ground.
People in Oaxaca City didn't like the teachers being there, quote, making everything dirty.
Last time I saw him was about 4 years ago. He and his girlfriend showed up at our house, which was a frequent stop on the activist circuit. I remember it had been a summer of near constant road-weary travelers needing a place to crash between here and there. And Bee and his partner pushed the limits of our hospitality, camped out in the dining room for 2 weeks. I can't remember what they were working on, where they were going next, only that they were in constant motion. Travel gear strewn all over the place.
Police ran in,
bags
gas canisters flew in from all
spilling
sides.
Out on the table.
Police beat people
on the phone, hours and hours of
while
the day.
Tearing down their tops and crushing toys and girls.
They tried to hop
people
out on a train and showed back up that evening.
Supposedly women and children
race,
had been killed
having
in
missed
the
deck on the fly.
People were angry and carried any weapon they could find. Broken tent stakes, rebar machetes. They tore up parking signs and broke up the sidewalks with them to make stones to
the sad
police.
But poetic irony of Bee's murder is that his goal of shining a spotlight on
the
atrocities in Oaxaca
then being pushed
are now being covered in the mainstream media.
Grenades, being
it often takes the death of a white American activist
finally
for these things
before
to happen.
11, once the police had fully taken this up
this irony would not be lost on Bee, who I can imagine saying something like, oh,
the people rushed their line
so now you
want to
pay attention, fuckers.
They attacked the line with long 2x4s, knocking some police to the ground. The cops began retreating, and the police carried away the wounded officers as captives. They stopped in front of our hostel and cleaned the cops' wounds. Some people tried to attack them, but they were defended by others who then traded places with them, clothes with them. They took them around the corner and returned with runners offering demands to the police. If the police left, the hostages would be returned. The police left and didn't return for 3 or 4 months. Police were no longer welcome in Oaxaca.
There has been a tragic streak
from that point on, the population
in the lives
came out
of many
support of the teachers.
Who have done a stint at
Brad
the Fall Creek tree set. We call it the Fall Creek Curse. And it is not a stretch to say that the curse is real. Since the demise of the active campaign,
much more to say about
we have lost a dozen
during those months,
or so people
I wasn't there for
to various dramatic exits, mostly suicides, leaps from bridges and buildings, hangings, and Harry Carey, suicide by train, And then the less autonomous methods, like rape and murder, falls from trees, and now bee. Suicide or murder? Some would say bees, crazy, wild, risky streak was near suicidal. Wherever shit was going down, bee was in the middle of it. And now, those of us who knew him in that context are scattered to the winds. I'm sure there'll be a memorial for him in the city. I plan to go out to Fall Creek and sit under Comfrey and Grover on the ground where my mother's ashes are scattered and do my remembering there.